occasions, it was mentioned during the time that Jeff was talking about the communion and everything, about letting your light shine. So I want everybody to stand up, if you would, please. All right? And he said, he just now got done saying, and we're going to sing this song together, just two choruses, all right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine in Hamilton. Let it shine in Hamilton, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine in Hamilton, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Have a seat. Yeah, he mentioned that twice. I thought, oh, I like that. I'm going to sing a song here. We're going to sing this song. This little light of mine, let it shine. And we're talking this morning about the idea of making him known. We started the first session when we were right before we left for our vacation, and that was to know him, to know him, to know Jesus. And then we're going to talk today about making him known, to know him and to make him known. So as a matter of quick review, the first part of this message was to know him, to know him. And we stated that in order for that to happen, if I'm going to be able to truly know Jesus, there must be something that happens first. And that is this. If I'm going to be knowing him, it requires emptying ourselves. We have to be empty of ourselves. There must be that displacement of who I am and allowing Christ to be the one that's seen in me. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after, notice what it says, follow me. And here's the mandate. He must, or she must. It's not an option for us, but it's an absolute requirement. You must deny yourself, take up the cross of Christ, and follow him. That's the first thing. It requires emptying of yourself. There must be a seeking of God's wisdom. We need to, secondly, seek God's wisdom and know who he is. It requires seeking him. If you seek for her, that's wisdom, God's wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. God says that searching for him and for his wisdom and his word is more valuable, as we saw last time, than all the gold and silver in the world. People spend their entire lives searching for gold, and they oftentimes ended up like that one grave that we saw there in Wyoming, unknown. Nobody knew who they were. We are now God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his. We belong to him. We are to use our bodies, our minds, and our intellect, and our spirit to be able to serve and do what he wants. He owns us in a loving way, and we need to be willing to allow him to have lordship in our lives. So in doing that, in being created for those good works, we are now supposed to walk in them. In other words, every day I'm supposed to see as opportunities from God that he's going to present things in my life that are there for me to be doing. And one of the things that I think is one of the greatest part of those is to make him known. That's what we're going to talk about now this morning. So I need to know him first in order that I might make him known. Jesus made this very powerful and profound statement. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice that he didn't say, I might make you a fisherman of men. He said, I will do that. If you are willing to follow me, if you are truly willing to know me and to allow me to be the first in your life, I will make you a fisher of men. I will use your life to influence others for Jesus Christ. That's not something that he doesn't promise lightly. But we need to follow him. The more intimately we know and the more intimately we love Jesus Christ, the more we will be willing and able to make him known to the lost world who is in need of salvation, who people around you who need to know Jesus Christ, and to be able to build up the body of Christ. The more that will be a priority also in our lives as God intended that to be. That's his priority for my life. That should be the number one thing that I see in my life. Jesus summed it all up as far as making him known in Matthew 28. Very common, familiar text. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We read that first part this morning when we opened up the worship, that Jesus said, go into to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to Judea, Samaria, and then to all the ends of the earth. So he says here, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what we are to be doing. We are to be bringing people to Jesus Christ, and then we are to build them up in that. That's what discipling means. That's what making disciples means. Lead them to Christ and then build them up. That's our mandate. When Jesus came from heaven to earth, when he came here, John says of him, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's the key. The Word, God himself, became flesh and did what? He dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came to the earth, he came for this reason. He came as God and man in order to show us who God the Father was, in order to be able to show his character, his promises, his blessing. But as believers, Paul says that when we accept Christ, here's what happens. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but what happens? Here's who's living in you. Christ lives in me. Jesus is now. So when we sang that little cute song about this little light of mine, we're talking about the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. He lives in you, and he wants you now to be able to let your light for Christ shine to the world around you. I have been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When Jesus was here on this earth, he spoke to people of himself, not only in his words. He spoke his words. He spoke the truth. But he also did it by his life and his actions. People saw more than just his words or heard more than. They saw his actions. They saw how he related to people. They were enamored by the way in which he loved people around him. And that's what we're to be doing. We are now to be Jesus to the world around us. We're supposed to be allowing them to see us for who we are. Back to the last slide here, sorry. We are now to be Jesus to the world around us in both our words and in our deeds, in our words and actions. So my life should reflect to those people around me Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want us to see this morning is, how do I do that by our words? Well, Paul very succinctly tells us that here's one of the things that should be happening in my life and yours. If I'm going to be able to use my words for Jesus Christ, I need to understand God's word. So obviously the logical thing is study. This is an old, how many of you ever went to Awana? Awana, anybody ever been to Awana? Raise your hands up high, be proud. Awana, okay. Awana. Approved workmen are what? Not ashamed. Awana, approved worker. It's from 2 Timothy 2:15. And that's what Paul says. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman. Workman, we're his workmanship, remember. So I've got to be prepared. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed. I don't need to be ashamed of God's word. I don't need to be ashamed of the fact that I don't know his word. But I have to be studying. So when I do that, when I study the word, then I will be able to take that word, just like Ezra. Ezra said that he set his heart to study the law of the Lord and then to practice it, be living it out in his life, and then he would be able to teach it to other people. So once I study God's word and I know it, then I'm going to be able to rightly handle the word of truth. I'm going to be able to use it in the circumstances in my life in a right way that God wants me to use them, especially in the area of witnessing to people for Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Right handling means, here's what right handling means when you take a look at this aspect of rightly handling. Rightly handling means I use it properly in my life. I'm going to use it in the circumstances that God brings into me, around you and your circumstances and the people that God brings into you, you're going to be able to use it in their lives. Proverbs 25, 11 and 12 says this of our words, of the things that we say. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. That's Proverbs 25, 11 and 12. like apples of gold and settings of silver, is a word spoken what? In right circumstances. In other words, using God's word in the right application under the right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reproof to a listening ear. So the gold of God's wisdom, the gold of his word that we have mined, in other words, studying, we've dug into it in getting to know him, can now be used in our lives and the right circumstances to do what? To touch other people's lives. So I can now make him known by my words, by what I say. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to pierce as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is what speaks and convicts people. All you need to do is present that to them, and God will do the convicting. You don't convict anyone. It's the Holy Spirit who does that. But you're the vessel, and I'm the vessel by which they need to hear the words. We need to be willing to say those words to people around us about God's truth. So, to the lost, to those around you, and you have a lot of people, we share Christ and his love for them and the truth spoken in love of their sin and separation from God. That's what we need to talk about. Their sin and their separation from God. That has to come a point where we speak that to them. And, as a result, their need for repentance. That's your objective, to help them see that they're sinners and that they need Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are, as Paul says, we're to do this. When I'm around people, what should I be doing? I should be conducting myself with wisdom toward outsiders. That means unbelievers. Paul says to walk circumspectly in another text. What that means is I need to be aware of my surroundings. I need to be aware of people around me and what's going on. So I'm supposed to conduct myself with wisdom toward outsiders, toward unbelievers. Be aware of what's going on. And then he says, make the most of the opportunity. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you are to respond to each person. In other words, I need to be sensitive to what's going on around me with people in order to be able to look for opportunities and doors that are opening up in which I can present the word of God, the gospel, to the lost around me. I need to be sensitive to that, saying, Lord, is this a time where I'm supposed to be sharing your word with the people around me? Had a good friend. His name was Kenny Langdon. I was at camp earlier this year, and in July, the end of June, and I was over at Faith Bible Camp. Kenny Langdon was a man that was, he worked computers and everything, but he had spent most of his life at this camp, and he was a worship leader, and he loved the Lord. Great guitarist, but Kenny was also a guy that was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun to be around with. And at his funeral, it was interesting, David Hartwick, who was the camp director, shared that Kenny's license plate, his license plate was Four Laws. Four Laws. Well, he was with Kenny one time when they got picked up in Bushnell. And they were, the policeman there pulled him over, and Kenny knew why he was being pulled over. He had a headlight that was out. He says, well, I got a headlight out, and he's going to pull me over. And that's what he, and sure enough, the policeman pulled him over. So when the policeman came up to the car, he says, excuse me, he says, are you a lawyer? And he says, no. He says, why do you ask? He says, well, Four Laws, what does that mean? And David said, right there, Kenny began to share what it was the four spiritual laws. We brought that up in Sunday school this morning, okay? The four spiritual laws. And so Kenny began to share with this police officer the four spiritual laws. Number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Number two, you are a sinner and you are separated from God. Number three, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin by dying for you on the cross. Number four, you must receive him as your Lord and Savior. And he shared with this policeman this wonderful... What am I saying? Our words don't have to be the four spiritual laws. But what I would challenge you to do is this. Get a copy of the four spiritual laws. Go through it. You don't have to know it verb by verb or word by word. But if you know the principles, those four principles, you can share the gospel with someone. And my point is, there are other tracks and there are other methods out there. The method isn't the important part. It's the idea that you are using words from God's word to be able to share with people around, to help them see their need. So get yourself honed in on that. So that's our words. We have to have the right kind of words. We have to be sensitive and willing at any point to always be ready to present the word of God in an instant's notice, and to be able to make a defense for the hope that's in you, as Peter says. Now, not only by your words, but you also need to do that by your actions. I'm going to make people know Jesus or see Jesus by what I say, but you know what? By my actions is probably going to be just as powerful, by the way in which I live. We're not only to share the word of God, but we are also to be what? Paul says this, we are to be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Always being willing to be allowing Jesus Christ to be seen through you. And that we are to be as beloved children. And you are to do what? Walk as children of light and bring them to Jesus Christ. You rightly handle the word of God. You conduct yourselves with wisdom, making the most of it. And then you are to be imitators of God. And this idea here of walking means my life. It means how people see me every day in my life. As you walk, the way in which you live. How do you treat people around you when you are living your daily life? That's the key. And we're to do it just as Christ did. He loved himself and gave himself up. I am to be a servant for the people around me in order that they might see Christ in me. I need to be, but remember, it first requires emptying myself. I can't be a servant for other people if I'm not empty of myself. If I'm full of myself, I'm going to be challenging them. I'm going to be abrupt with them. I'm going to be proud of who I am. I'm not going to be submitting. But we need to be able to do that. And we need to do it in love and not be quarrelsome. Paul says, be kind, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Here's the key. When we think about this by our actions, here's something I think that's a very powerful statement. It is not always what you say, but what? How I say it. How I say it that makes an impression with people. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it that makes an impression with people. So when we are in that position where we are emptied of ourselves and filled with the Spirit, then we can know what to do and to say with those around us according to the will of God. And we can do this. We can be confident that God is doing his perfect work in me. I need to have an attitude that's willing to be submitted to God, to be emptied of myself, and to be always open to sharing by my words and my actions Jesus Christ. We are to be emptied. We are to count, when you look at the end of Paul there in verse Philippians 3, he says, we are to count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. We can press on in our lives each and every day knowing this, that we can trust God and his ways in our lives. Now, here's how God works. Here's what happens. This is what he will do sometimes in your life and mine. He will often bring people into our lives in what appears to be the most inopportune and the most unfitting of times. In other words, it's not according to your schedule. It's not according to your planned day. God will bring people into your life. But here's the key. His timing and arrangements of such meetings are not by chance. They are arranged by God. Take advantage of them. That's why when Paul earlier said, make the most of the opportunity, that's what he's talking about. In your life, oftentimes through the weeks, God will bring people into your life unexpectedly. These are people that he wants you to share Christ with, either by your actions or your words. Are you ready to do that? That's really the question that we have for you today. It's a relational aspect. We talked about this in Sunday school. It's relational. It's being willing to be a part of people's lives that will make the most impact on their lives. Being relational with people. Now, I know a lot of us aren't always relational. Some of us are more relational. But every one of us has been called by God to be relational. We're called to do that. In a study once done by the American Institute of Church Growth, a very interesting study, they took 8,000 church attenders and they surveyed 8,000 church attenders. And here's what they came up with. 1-2% were people that had special needs. That's why they were coming to church. 2-3% were walk-ins. They just came in off the doors. 5-6% were influenced by a particular preacher. 2-3% came because they liked the church and the program that they had. They liked the music. They liked the things that they saw. 1-2% came because they responded to a visitation effort, people going out, knocking door to door. 4-5% were reached by Sunday school. You know what? Those are small numbers. But what was the key was this. Here's the attitude and the key. 75 to 90% of those people came through what? The influence of friends or family or relatives. The personal one-on-one approach is the most important aspect of winning the lost to Christ. We must be relational to the people around us. I'm not picking on him, but I met Caleb and Emily, right? And they're, for those of you that don't know, they're over in Nepal. And you cannot openly witness. You cannot openly tell people about Jesus Christ because it's against the law. But they, through their work and through the portal bike call, I'm not going to say it out here, but it's ministry. Through that effort that they have, they are, by their actions, they are going to be reaching people for Jesus Christ. God's going to open up doors for them to be able to talk to him because of the way in which they relate to the people in Nepal there. But that's the thing that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be relational. We're supposed to do that in our lives. Well, here's the question. How do I do that? Okay, Pastor, you're saying I need to do that. All right, here's some things. These are some things from a ministry called the Heart for the Harvest. The Heart for the Harvest. And this is what they're saying that we can do in a practical way to be more interpersonal with people around us. Making these opportunities. Pray about it, first of all. You need to pray about the people that are around you. You have a list of people that you work with, that you associate with. Pray for them, that God would open up the opportunity. Here's the other things that you need to do. Make the contacts that you want to begin to talking to and pray for them. And then invest your time and talent. Here's what you need to do. Become personally involved in the lives of other people. I need to intentionally become personally involved. Invite your unsaved friends out for lunch or for dinner or to your home for coffee. And here's another thing. When you're doing that, do things together. Attend plays, movies, sporting events, go fishing. Do that. Develop friendships with them. Get interested in what they're interested in and take that time and invest it. And God will open up opportunities. Here's your heart. Your desire is you want to witness to them. You know, I had one friend from another church one time said, you know, I don't think I can do that. I said, well, why can't you? He said, because they're not a program. I feel like I'm programming them. No, I said, you're not programming them. You're asking God to open up the door. You just need to be friends with them. You need to be open up to the people around you. Do things together. And some of you can join a service club, such as Rotary or Kiwanis Alliance. When I was in Dallas City, I joined the Lions Club. And it opened up opportunities for witnessing. You know, you become a part of their lives. You're not only just a service volunteer with them, you become part of, you find out about how they're doing. They come up and they'll talk to you about their families or the cancer that they have that's in their life. Or the family relationship problems that they're having. They will open up to you. And as a believer, then you have opportunity to be able to invest in their lives and to share with them about the hope that you have in Christ. So get involved in those organizations. Join an interest club. Maybe you like gardening or hunting or cooking or whatever it is. Woodworking. Get involved in that. And then here's something that a lot of you can do. Volunteer to help coach a boys or girls basketball or athletic team and volunteer at the local school. The local school is a great avenue to get involved with people's lives. And here's probably the last one. Give your time to a hospital or charitable organization and then do this. Open your home to the neighborhood. Now, I know some of you are living out in the middle of nowhere, But you know what? You got neighbors that live down the street. Open your home to them. Be the most hospitable home on the block to children and adults. By the way, down the road, we're going to take, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look at the idea of being hospitable and what that really means in depth. But be hospitable. Be open. Invite them to come into your home. It doesn't make any difference if it's perfectly clean. Just invite them in, okay? Make sure you got something for them to drink or to eat. We have a sovereign God, okay? These are all how-tos. These are just methods by which you can do that. But here's the key. We have a sovereign God who orders all of our life, including our relationships. And He wants to use you in every relationship, whether it's your family, your neighborhood, or your workplace. He wants you to do this. And here's the bottom line for what we're talking about. He wants you to be an influence for Jesus Christ and to make Him known. To know Him, but then to make Him known. To be a witness. To let this little light of Jesus Christ shine in my life to the people around me. That's a challenge that we have this week. Think about people in your life. Be proactive about going out and being willing to witness to them. And study God's Word so that you're prepared to do that in a loving way. Father, thank You for the challenge that You give us, that we are to go to the ends of the earth. And that even begins right here, though, right here in Hamilton, Illinois, with the people that we know. May we be bold and unashamed to be able to share and proclaim Jesus Christ through our words and our actions. For His glory, in His name we pray. Amen.